Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Pat Creighton, Jason Braddock in for John and Lance on the bench. The late hits invasion of the bench. Pat Creighton, Jason Braddock with you. And Dell on the other side of the glass. Dell is always on the other side of the glass. Dell is always here. Dell is always working while the other guys are, you know, indulging in their vacation. But Dell is the trooper. He's the guy that makes the show go, so make sure you're following Dell on Twitter at DellV2. You can follow Jason and I at Patrick Creighton, at Jason Braddock, at Late Hitters. Now, normally Jason and I are not awake at this hour. We work the late shift. In fact, we were the last guys here last night. We're the first ones here today. So, normally, I'm not up for at least another 2 hours. Jay, did you even go to bed yet?
No, I have not. I tried to, though. So I get credit for trying to. I laid there for a couple hours, then I finally just said, let's just smoke some more weed and do some more DraftKings lineup. So, and that's what I ended up doing.
You did DraftKings lineups like 12 hours before they need to be done.
Yeah, I mean, because I know I'm going to crash after this. We did late hits last night. Then we turn around. You know, I shot back out to the Woodlands. And we turn around and do it again this morning. And, yeah, I typically go to sleep about 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. So I think if I laid it down, I don't think I was getting back up. You would have been solo today.
Now, after you partook in some adult recreational activities,
right,
did you then have to go get breakfast?
Oh, I got some breakfast tacos on the way in. Had to.
Did you have to eat more breakfast because you partook in recreational activities?
No, it doesn't affect me. Dale, are you a participant in the dark arts?
I mean, I'm a Harry Potter fan. No, no, I am not. No, I am not a participant in the dark arts. No.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, the stereotypes of marijuana, obviously one is that you eat more, you get the munchies, you eat a lot. That's if you typically, like, on and off and not a big smoker. But if you smoke every day and you're 41 years old and still smoke all the time, it has the opposite effect for me. It's an appetite suppressant.
So you're at the point where you are,
I have to force
fully
myself
adapted to,
eat. To,
and now you'd have to smoke more in order to get the munchies.
No, what I'd have to do is if I want to stop, like I'll reset my tolerance sometimes. I'll just stop for like a week and then go back on. So I'll reset my tolerance. And then at that point, like the first week or so, I'll kind of have the munchies.
So today you essentially did a wake and bake, but without actually going to sleep.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't call it a wake and bake. I don't know what you would call it. The regular nighttime flow, I guess. Just kept on going throughout the night and about 5 or 6, I said, I guess smoke another one. We got a show to do.
See, I got up at 5:15 today, and as soon as the alarm went off, I cursed.
See, like I didn't want that feeling. I didn't want that feeling. So before I came up, I took another shower like at 4 in the morning and almost fell asleep in the shower. You know, see, I'm a little weird.
A little?
Hell yeah, I'm a little weird. So, Dale, is it weird if I have like one of those little $10 lawn chair things that I just put in the shower just to let the shower pour down on me like I'm in a Tyrese video?
I mean, it's not weird if you're 75 years old. I mean, if that's your age, then no, sitting down in the shower for a 75-year-old person is not weird.
Okay, fair enough.
Where did you get a lawn chair for $10?
Walmart. I got it at Walmart. It just went in there and said, that looks like it's cheap enough to hold me. And not break my back on it. Just in there. You don't take like a sit down shower?
No, I don't have a seat in my shower.
That's on you. You're just not doing showering right. I think I'm just hipping y'all all to the game today. Y'all can act here like bougie if you want to, Dale, but you're on the way home, you're stopping to get a shower chair.
It's not about being lazy. It's not about being bougie. You just reached a level of laziness I didn't know existed.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not even taking
Are you
shots.
Trying to lazy shame
no,
me?
I'm not even taking
it
shots.
It is 2020. We are past lazy shaming.
I don't care. I'll shame anyone, but I take naps. So I don't care about relaxing during things, maybe during the middle of the day when you shouldn't, because I'll take a nap. It doesn't bother me. But I've never heard of a person buying a lawn chair just to sit down in the shower. But
it will change your life. Let me ask you this.
Do you
sit down
when you have to tinkle as well?
Absolutely. Why would I stand? Do you know how many Houston athletes right now are out due to quad injuries? Not me.
Yeah, but
I'm 41-year-old and fat. Not in the prime of my life. I do not have a quad injury. I suggest sit down while you pee.
Do we know that Russ and others got their quad injuries because they were standing while they
I believe peeing? That. I believe it hasn't been confirmed yet. Sources are telling me, though. Multiple sources, by the way.
Doctors.
So you know it's
Braddock.
Legit.
You keep talking about sources like that. People are going to stop believing your actual sources when you get
I'm okay with that as well. Yeah. I think they've stopped that anyway. I mean, it's just par for the course.
Dr. Jason Braddock, if you stand in the shower or you stand to pee, you're going to get a quad injury.
Exactly.
Dr. Braddock.
I'm trying to help Houston sports get back on track. And I've got to ask Dale something because I think this is like the second or third time I've done a show with Dale now. Dale, are we best friends status now?
I mean, it's very difficult to say considering I do a show with guys Monday through Friday and I don't like them. So
Right.
I mean, maybe familiarity will breed contempt, but since it's only been like three shows, I guess we're best friends.
See,
I don't know.
Best friends.
Dell, is this the first time you and I are working together in this station?
No, I've done late hits. When we were doing the producer working every other day thing, I did late hits.
Yeah, he forgot. He's almost 50.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that is true.
You don't get to clown me about shower chair, and I guess that's the name we're going with now.
I'm closer
it's
to
like
50
Spygate.
And I still stood up.
It's like Bennifer. You just combine two names, shower chair.
No, I first met Dell.
Trademark, late hits.
When I was working at a different place. I don't know how long Dell was actually there.
I didn't know you were over there. I didn't know you was at 610.
Kind of blew through really quick.
Yeah, I was brought in as a part-time producer, and really all I did maybe a couple of days a week for about a month or so was grab audio for Robert Hensley because he would go out to the Texans, and I would cut it up and then create it for the station to play it. That's all I did over there.
Were they not in love with your bubbly personality?
I mean, well, I would say that at some point, let's just say there's a miscommunication between me and the scheduler.
Okay.
And by that miscommunication, I mean at one point I was scheduled to do something, a live show, and it wasn't a live show, just recorded.
Uh-huh.
And I just said, okay, since this is recorded and it's all running, I'm just going to go home. Apparently that was frowned upon, and then I was never scheduled again.
I feel like when they say there's two sides to every story, this is one of those instances.
Legit.
To me, what I'm hearing the other side is you were basically Ryan Mallett. You had a little bit of syrup. Bill O'Brien sent somebody. He probably sent, what was his name? Khalil? Was it Khalil? Khalil? Khalid? All right. Anyway, y'all, you know, down there with the Texans, they probably sent him to the house, had to wake your ass up, and Rick Smith had to save your job.
It's not the case. I was there.
They were going to fire you. Rick Smith saved your job.
No, not the case at all. I wish someone was there to save the job. I was there, and then it turns out what I was there for didn't occur, so I decided, I even asked the person who I was training with, do I need to be here since none of this is actually live, and can I go home? And they're like, yeah, I don't know why you're here. It doesn't matter. So I went home, and then there was a back and forth through a couple emails. Why did you leave? I was like, well, because there's nothing for me to actually do. And then I never got scheduled again. Never got fired. They just never scheduled me again. And I was like, okay.
You didn't basically go like the guy from Office Space?
I mean, I kept...
Like you kept the red...
I kept the key card. Is that that's the same thing
that's
as keeping the stapler?
That's the equivalent of the Skyline Red stapler, I would say.
I didn't burn that place to the ground. Clearly, it's still functioning. I don't know how well it's functioning, but it's still broadcasting every day.
People don't realize how accurate... Like Dell is speaking right now, because that was a thing at 610. Oh, we're upset with you, or like for some stupid reason, or maybe even not a legitimate reason. So we're not going to fire you. We're just not going to work you at all.
I swear this sounds like a scene from Office Space. So you fired him?
No, let's just say
we don't pay him anymore.
Perfect example. I was covering Johnny Manziel's pro day.
Mm-hmm.
And after I, you know, you recorded all the audio, and then I was trying to write it up and
hit on
load
Miss
it up.
Bush.
And my computer then just absolutely died. Not, didn't have power. It mm-hmm. just went on the fritz and crapped out. So I called up the web guy and told him, hey, listen, my computer just died. I'm not going to be able to put this in now. I got to get back to the station, and then I'll upload it from there. Yeah, no problem. I get in, and aforementioned person that Dell, why isn't this up? What is going on? And I told him, I said, my computer died, like just crashed. Like I can't get it to boot up anymore.
It's too early in the morning. You lost me on chapter two. I'm going to need cliff notes on this.
And I said, you know, I spoke to Garrett, and he said, yeah, just, you know, can I upload it to the station? Yeah, no problem. And then right in front of me, Garrett denied the whole thing.
This.
I never said that. I don't know what you're talking about. Dude, we almost went at it right there. And then I didn't get scheduled for any kind of coverage again for like 3 weeks.
It's so hilarious. They don't like confrontation. They're anti-confrontation. Like, no, just don't schedule them. We're not going to fire him. Just yeah. don't schedule
that. There was no conversation. I just kept looking at the producer schedule, and my name wasn't ever on the list. So I was like, okay, I guess this means I started looking for more employment.
Wait Remember, a second. They used you to never not- talked to him after that? Wait, was there ever a conversation after you quit getting scheduled? I need to know. Was there ever a conversation and you just left? That was the end of it.
They never said, hey, this isn't going to work out, or could you bring back your key card? It's like, no, they never contacted me again. So I was like, okay, I guess I start looking for other things to do.
That's kind of, I mean, no offense, but that's kind of gangster, you know?
I mean, I was working at most because I was the only part-time producing maybe 8 to 10 hours a week. So it wasn't a huge dock in terms of pay, but it wasn't like, hey, Del, things aren't really working here. We appreciate your time. Go find something else. Never another contact.
Jeez, I didn't know Bill O'Brien was over the 6'10 side of everything as well. Maybe. That sounds how he get cut players.
Well, maybe Laura Reynolds taught Bill O'Brien.
Mm, well played. And that's the other, what was it, half of the story? Other yeah. side of the story?
That was the scheduler time for producers, at least for part-timers at the time. No, I don't know if that's the case now.
I'm talking about that old radio guy in the 60s, and he said, and that's the other side of the story. Or you don't know what I'm talking about.
No.
Y'all never get my references. Dell. Like, I mean, I thought I had you for backup.
I think it's because you and I do not participate in the dark arts. We're not watching all those super cheesy movies at 5 a.m.
Hey, I'm coming down, though. So this is kind of neat for you guys. Y'all get to go through the stages with me. Watch it on Twitch. I don't know what's happening next.
So when I was over there, they decided that as a part-timer, I cost too much. So they would schedule other people to work what was supposed to be my hours because they didn't want to pay my rate. They wanted to pay somebody with a lesser rate.
What would you say you do here? It's from Office Space. I'm going to just keep making references until you keep making blank faces at me.
They actually used to schedule somebody who was a really nice kid but had speech impediment issues.
The scheduler?
No, the other person who they would schedule instead of me, who had dyslexia and had speech impediment issues, and that's the guy you put on air over an actual trained professional broadcaster because they wanted to pay him $10 an hour.
Ooh, this story, man.
This is the nonsense that used to go on over there under the old regime of Ryan McCracken.
I'm going to need to get an entire script so I can follow all the characters of this story.
For someone to text Ryan,
mm-hmm.
Oh my God, yo, Patrick's talking about you on the air. And for him to text me, hey, Patrick, got to text more Texans here.
Nice.
You got to talk more Texans here.
Oh, his name was brought up in my email exchange. It's like, well, we could. I was like, the back and forth about why I left when I told her there's nothing for me to do. Everything's recorded. So, well, we can talk about this with Ryan. That was the threat that was used to try to de-escalate the situation. I was like, okay, whatever. I don't really care. And that was the last particular interaction I had. We can talk to Ryan about this.
And if you want to talk about somebody who was really wishy-washy and had no spine and couldn't make a decision in front of you or speak to you as a person, he was the most confrontational avoidance person that I ever worked for. Usually when you're the boss, like, look, I'm the boss. I got to make decisions. This is it. This is it. This is it. Not Ryan. Ryan was, well, you know, I think I gotta maybe look at this. And
would he wait till the last minute on Friday when you thought you were done for the week and ask you to come in on Saturday?
No, but he would do the dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Would he ever hit you up with on Mondays when you're kind of pissed off and in a bad mood? Would he ask you like, "Hey, looks like somebody's got a case of the Mondays"?
Yeah, would he do that? He would just hide.
Okay, I was just wondering.
He would just hide. Although, I'm sure it's been told by Fred Davis since it was his story. He let loose on Ryan in a way that anybody else would have been fired and got a promotion. So good for him. Late Hits in for the bench. Patrick and Jason in for John and Lance. ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Patch Creighton, Jason Braddock in for John and Lance on The Bench. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. On the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at PCreighton1, at Jason Braddock, at Dell V2, Dell Olele on the other side of the glass, the master controls. And, of course, on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. And for those of you getting onto the Twitch stream or new to the Twitch stream, we'll do Ask Us Anything on the Twitch stream. So if you're on Twitch, you can pop whatever questions you want at us.
Well, here's one now. Somebody wants to know if you have a loud neighbor. If you have a loud neighbor that always yells at you to check out what's on Channel 9.
What's on Channel 9?
I don't know.
Is that a reference to something that I'm not getting?
They keep. I love the Twitchers. They keep dropping random references. They're asking you from Office Space.
I was going to say, you're going to throw all your Office Space
stuff absolutely. At me? I'm not even doing it. It's the Twitchers.
I have seen zero episodes of Office Space.
That's what makes it so fun, is especially when we... you know, we ask you and you just have no clue what's going on. You're legitimately answering the questions. That's when I have my most fun with you.
The first thing you might want to realize, it's a movie, not a TV show.
Mm, well played.
Seen zero movies of it, too.
Yeah. It's about Jennifer Aniston's in it, if that appeals to you. A young Jennifer Aniston.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
I heard Fred and AJ talking yesterday on the way in, saying, and I want to see where you fellas stand on this, because I'm going to have to disagree with them here. They're talking about Jennifer Aniston was overrated. Like, they never saw why she was so hot.
What?
And I'm like, yeah, Jennifer Aniston could get it.
I was thinking maybe she's a little underrated. Because she
underrated.
Never got, like, all the... Do you feel like she ever got, like, the super love, like Angelina Jolie for a while, like everybody?
Oh, see, that's cold. Why do you have to go straight from her to Angelina Jolie?
She's a mega star.
That is cold.
Like, Scarlett Johansson was, like, a...
We're trying to move past that. You know, we had Bennifer, and then next thing we knew, we had Bradgelina. I mean, I still haven't healed from that.
Yeah, but you know what? Like,
too soon.
Jennifer Aniston actually kept her boobs, so that's a big win for her.
Well, didn't Angelina Jolie like have? Can't she?
No, I think she did it.
Wow, I'm glad I did not follow you up on that one.
She did it.
Jeez.
I thought Angelina did
it. I got to take points off of Angelina Jolie. She lost one to breast cancer.
I think it was a preventative.
What is that?
Not as breast cancer, but as like preventative measure. So she wouldn't get it.
Because her mom, I think, had it.
Did I ever tell you about the one boob chick? When I was 20.
No, why would I know about this?
Because we're best friends. We just laid this out in the first segment. Now, I want you to repeat it to all the people who didn't hear it in the first segment. Who's your best friend, Dale?
I didn't say you were my best friend.
That's an ass move, Dale. We're not best friends.
Dude, you're
anymore.
Not anybody's best friend, man. You're just out here talking nonsense on everything.
Well, that's what I do. All right, so I was 20 and she was 18, right? And you start to do what you do and you run your hand up the shirt while you're doing what you do. And it's like, all right, mountain. And then plateau. And I'm like, what? And she's 18. And, like, you've got to, like, I mean, maybe I'm being a dick here, but don't you have to, like, pre-warn somebody in that situation? Like, don't you have to, like, say, hey, before we do this.
Eye test didn't work?
No, I guess she had, like, a robo-boob. I don't know. It disappeared when the shirt came off. Like, I mean, and I'm just, like, so the whole time I'm just, like, thrown out of whack. The whole time I'm, you know.
So you made her super uncomfortable and self-conscious about it.
I don't know. I mean, I was high. And it's just like, you don't let me go in this situation. My mind's already out of whack. And there's only one. It's different if it's three. If we're talking Total Recall and it's three, I'm okay with it. I made my peace with that. I'm good with it.
I feel like you might be a bad person.
She's 18. You can't tell me you got to let me know. I can't just discover that.
I think you're a bad person.
All right. Dale. Ruling, final ruling, bad person, or is this on her?
Well, I think it's a combination when it comes to both of you, because considering he talked about her losing a boob when it really,
right.
It was she apparently had it. I'm looking it up right now as you're talking. She had an 87% chance of getting breast cancer, so she did a preventative procedure to keep it from happening.
Can we actually percentageize
apparently
what your chances of future cancer
she has? She had a defective gene, which made her very high risk.
Yeah, I saw it in Minority
I
Report.
I thought that just made her insane.
Tom Cruise.
No, it's a different gene. That's a different gene. But a defective gene that made her high risk for breast cancer.
What is it called? Pre-crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, pre-crime. Minority Report. Tom Cruise. Learn it.
Red-balled.
That was Minority Report, too, right?
It was.
Yeah, so you are both bad people, I feel like.
Really?
Well, see, I've been a bad person
for a long
time. We're both
in our prime. You've got to prep us for that. Like,
would you have told her if you were missing one downstairs?
If we were about to party, yeah.
At 20?
Yes, if we're about...
I don't think you'd have said a dang thing. You'd have just got right to business.
No, I mean, like, what all are we doing? Are we just going to smash it, or are we, like, going to rock the mic?
I didn't know what situation you were in, but if she was doing things and she went down there, would you have said, hold on, let me tell
you. Yeah, that would freak me out if I was her. At 20 and she's 18?
At 20 and you're high?
Like, one is like, wait.
Well, you're 20 and high.
Is the other one hiding?
No, if you're 20 and high, I don't think you're having that conversation.
I am.
I
think you underestimate. Like, I love awkward moments.
Here.
No, I feel like you.
I love awkward moments.
Age has given you some perspective, but at 20, while that's going on, guys make dumb decisions at 20, period. In the middle of that, while you're high, you think you're going to have that conversation?
Yeah, I'm going to be like, hey, before you do this.
There's no chance.
Ball's in the corner pocket. There's only one hanging.
There is no chance you're having that conversation.
All right.
It's like, gee, why would an 18-year-old girl be self-conscious about that? Can't imagine why.
I mean, if you're going to put a fake, I felt like I was in, I'm going to get you, sucker.
And then we got Captain Congeniality over here going, hey, what happened to the other one?
No, I didn't say nothing. I mean, it was just like awkward because, I mean, I kept felting around like I lost my keys or something. I'm like, wait a second. I know I left it right here.
Honey, let me turn the lights on. I can't see. Really?
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's like maybe, you know, I was high. So I'm like, maybe I'm just off center. So I tried around the back, the left side. I even grabbed like part of her, like, what are they called? The handles?
So
the love handles?
As the uniballer.
I had to make it through it. Fake it till you make it.
Considering you still remember the story 20 plus years later, she was probably right in not telling you.
No, because if she tells me, like, I mean, I give her a colored ribbon and feel bad for her and stuff like that. Well, it's not a story 20 years later.
That's what an 18-year-old girl wants to feel. I feel bad for me. That's what she's looking for.
She looked like Alicia Keys. I mean, that's the worst part of everything.
The biggest question is, did it stop you?
No, hell
right,
no.
Then.
Like, I mean, I'm not unhuman. Jeez, Dale, I'm not trying to shatter the girl's self-esteem.
Yeah, I'm sure that was going through your mind.
I'm like, listen,
steam.
I'm
going
to soldier through this for you and all the one-breasted women out there. I do this for you. This is my chivalry.
So you're a humanitarian.
Chivalry's not dead in 2020. Jason Braddock can prove that. And this message is backed by The Bench.
We're going to leave this to late hits.
Save for The Bench. Backed by Gal.
If you miss any of this, you're going to be able to find this on the Late Hits podcast page a little bit later today.
Yeah, right on the part that says Jason has been terminated and is no longer part of the program.
The email coming out right now, Jason's no longer allowed in the AM time. No morning show, no AM.
No longer on the M time.
Yeah.
Just period.
Late Hits. Let's just keep it with Late Hits. Can we back up Late Hits 2 more hours?
All right. It's time to have fun with all those bozos who 7 days ago wanted to hit the panic button. Next.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock in for John and Lance on The Bench. And, you know, last night, Jason, you did You did this thing where you stared into the camera.
Oh.
And you gave this huge mea culpa to our entire audience because you had said Jose Altuve was going to find his stick out in Colorado.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I did not say that. That was your wording.
Find the stick in Colorado.
Okay.
And, you know, going into last night's game, he hadn't found the stick yet.
Mm-hmm.
While we were here and with a portion of
the game. You're just going to stick with that verbiage.
That we saw.
Okay.
He was looking mighty awful. But once the show ended, Jose Altuve banged out a pair of hits.
Yeah, no, he absolutely did. So to kind of rehash real quick.
Like you get to pull that up.
No, I'm not. And I said that on the show last night. So Monday I came out and I said, even though Jose Altuve wasn't putting it together yet, you know, you hadn't seen the hits. You haven't seen the uptick in batting average and contact and everything as well. Let me take back that last part. The contact, he was making solid hits, making solid contact. They were just going right at people. He's catching the bad break. Then so I said, going into Monday, that I felt by the end of the Colorado series, the two in Houston and then the two in the Mile High City, such a hitter's park up there, that he will break out of this groove and have a breakout game. But last night I said, after seeing him the two nights after Monday's show, and he's still pulling his head out. He's still not. He still doesn't have it tucked down. He's looking like a little leaguer out there as far as pulling the head all the way back out, looking inside the, you know, the dugout instead of even down the third baseline. I mean, he's just so out of control with it. So I said that, and when I saw it, I said, even if he goes out and has a 3-4-hit game, and he had, like you said, two hits last night, even if he has a 3 or 4-hit games back in Colorado, I'm still concerned with him because he's still, it's all mental. He's still in his head. He's pulling his head out. We're talking about one of the guys that has best hand-eye coordination. The strike before Alex Bregman came to the Houston Astros, Jose Altuve had the best eye on the team. He's not swinging at wasted pitches. He knew where the strike zone was. And if he was swinging at it, it's because it was a pitch he knew he could make contact and put into play because he was just that confident in himself. We're seeing the complete opposite of that, and it's all mental. So even with the two hits last night, I don't have a ton of confidence in Altuve because I believe he's still in his head.
Well, sometimes all it takes is you get a couple of hits and you get a little more confidence in yourself, feel a little more comfortable at the plate, and this is where it takes off. We've seen, I mean, look, we talked about this last night, how on June 20th last year, Jose Altuve was hitting 235.
Right.
And by July 30th, he was hitting 300.
Yeah, but his on-base percentage going into last night's game was 233. His on-base percentage.
Right, well, his on-base, though, realistically, it's 61 points higher than his average.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the norm.
We're not talking about the norm. We're talking former MVP. No. I'm going to disagree. Show me, what was his lowest career on-base percentage before this year? How long ago was that?
We're talking about on-base percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, part of that is what your average is. So,
of course, and
when
we
talk on base, it's what is the difference between your on base and your average? Because that is your walk rate. That's the other side of the coin. So when you talk about a guy, when you see a guy who has, you know, a batting average and on base, and they're very close together, that guy doesn't walk much. So that's why we would have an artificially low on base. If you hit 350,
right,
and you have a 380 on base,
you're not walking.
You're not
right.
walking at all. You're Lance Johnson, Ichiro, for example. Early in Altuve's career, he didn't walk a lot. So,
like the first 3 years, I don't think he's had an on-base percentage anywhere close to this low since his first 3 years in the league.
Well, he's never had a batting average this low.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's all connected. What I'm saying, he's not hitting the ball. He doesn't have the eye for it right now. He's swinging. I watched the bat the other day.
That's what I'm trying to explain to you.
No, you're going to say where you're going to go is that he's still getting good walks, right? That's where you're going?
He's walking at his normally – he's walking about the normal rate.
Take out the numbers for a second. And what are you seeing from Altuve at the plate? Are you seeing a guy that looks like Altuve in past years? Not talking about contact in the head.
No, we've already covered the fact he obviously doesn't look comfortable, hasn't looked right. He's swung at some really bad pitches.
Like every time he goes up there. He's going up there on the first pitch and swinging because he thinks this is, you know, I feel like I know I got my best chance at what's coming here. I'm going to swing on this first chance, first pitch and try to put it into play because he's going to swing at everything.
But Altuve's always been a really aggressive hitter.
Aggressive's different than what he's doing this year.
Well, no, because he's missing this year.
No, this year he's missing by 2 feet, three feet.
But the aggressiveness has always been there. He's always been a guy who, hey, first pitch, I'll hack. If I think it's close, I'm going to hack. He's always been a really aggressive guy. Think back to 2014, the first time he led the league in average. He had 341.
Right.
His on base was 377. He only walked 36 times. He had 660 at-bats. His walk rate from then to now has actually improved. See, for example, his on base there was only 36 points higher.
But he's hit 341. You're not going to. I mean, so you wanted him.
You're not following.
No, no, I am following. No, okay, go ahead. I'm stupid with baseball. Walk it down for me again.
Just with this one particular thing. Okay.
How does on base percentage work again?
Don't be an ass.
No, that's what you're doing.
It's bad enough that you're not correlating. You're like, his on base is low. Well, no kidding. His average is low.
Listen.
You can't say, well, he's never had on base this low before. It's all predicated on his average. His walk rate is essentially the same as what it was from last year and relatively close to what it was the previous 3 years before that. Right now, he's just not hitting.
All right, so
it's not on base. It's not walk. It's not pitch recognition. It is pitch recognition. But it's his average. It's not his walk rate that's holding his on base down.
Okay, so you got the on base percentage out there. All right, so you do realize there's a difference in 60 points from 130 to 190 and 340 to 390. When a guy's hitting 341 batting average, I mean, the guy's making contact and putting into play good balls. Your walk percentage is going to go down when you're hitting 341 as opposed to 130 or wherever he's at right now.
No, not necessarily.
No.
No.
Okay.
And in fact, a lot of guys who have the highest, a lot of guys hit real high averages have a really high on base. See Alex Bregman. See Mike Trout. You know, Barry Bonds had insane on base percentages even before he had a gigantic head.
I'm talking about numbers in principle.
Yes. Your average.
I'm not talking about the top elite players of all time.
Altuve
I'm talking about.
Altuve is a top player.
Right
now he's not.
Right. And but then the one thing you mentioned
right now
in there.
Is if that's going to be him for the whole
year.
This is
back to the conversation point. All that other was just a lot. 5 minutes on on-base percentage. Back to what it was is that you mentioned the one thing you mentioned in there was pitch recognition. That's the main thing. I mean, I think we're talking in circles around the same point is that his pitch recognition is so far down this year than where he was. He's not picking up. I mean, I think we're picking at straws here when we're just really, really diving in right down the middle on every bit of this and picking at nits on, all right, well, this on this percentage. What I'm saying is when you use pitch recognition, that lets me know we're not that far apart with what we're talking about. He's not seeing it the same way. And the biggest flaw in that you can see with a blind eye is him pulling his head out. It's something you teach your kids in Little League. It's something that I was taught as a kid. And you're seeing it on a guy that was a former MVP. You know, a guy that won MVP of the league, well, you mentioned hitting 340, a batting champ, and the guy's up there pulling his head out like he's in the little leagues.
Guys go through slumps.
I agree.
All right? And when you go through a slump, you get into some bad
But
habits.
Do you see him have a complete mechanical breakdown like this, to this level, with a guy like Altuve?
Yeah. And then he'll correct it. And then he'll have 400 for a month.
And I understand. And, you know, let me make people aware. He's not the only one. I know there's part of the country that wants to put this out there that You know, it's harder guessing than knowing, the Earl Hershiser quote, right? Listen, you can go look at a couple other former MVPs and see how they're struggling this year. Cody Bellinger for the Dodgers, Christian Yelich. I know he's started to turn around a little bit. But you're talking about MVPs, multiple MVPs in the league that are batting under 200 this year. So the nuances that have taken place, because you start prepping for spring training, then you have this entire, what, 4, 5, 6 month layoff, then you come back and now you're playing regular season baseball, 60 game seasons. There's so many nuances to this season that's going to throw players that are so, and all athletes, not just baseball players, but all athletes are so regimen strict. They're so used to it. This time of day, this time, what I put in my body, when the season schedule is, when my body rests, and all of it's thrown out of whack. A lot of players are responding better to it. And then you have a lot of great players that are not responding. Mike Trout's not having an issue before he got injured. Aaron Judge wasn't having an issue. But then you have other guys, Yelich, Bellinger, Altuve, just to name a couple of the top tier in the league that have struggled this year.
You know, Springer got off to a bad start. Bregman got off to a bad start. And, you know, Bregman, 1-for-2 yesterday before he left the game. Bregman's up to 272.
Oh, Bregman caught fire. I mean, we talked about it on Monday that, like, in his last 10, 12 games, I can't remember what the stat was we pulled, but he was hitting 320 at that point. And as his OPS, I believe, was 1,200, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, so he's gotten out of the funk, and Correa's been putting it, you know, putting in work all year. Yuli's been putting in work, and Brantley. I mean, that's the thing that's probably the most frustrating. Like, everyone talks about Joe Kelly sticking out the tongue and all that nonsense. The worst part of all that, if you're an Astros fan, is Joe Kelly putting his foot out in front of first base and Brantley stepping on that and just completely threw him out of whack. Before that, Brantley was hitting over 400 for the Astros. And then after that, he just completely fell off until he had to go on IL.
And look, nobody's – it's not realistic to expect a guy is going to hit over 400.
No, of course not. Right. I mean, it's like Charlie Blackmon hitting 500 a week ago.
You know, he was certainly playing a lot better before he, you know, got tripped and hurt his leg. Bregman taken out of the game last night with a hamstring. He's got a hamstring.
He got a hamstring.
And
he's got a nose.
They're giving him the day to day, but usually when you have a hamstring, you're more like a week and a half, and then we're going day to day. If it's not that serious, if it's serious, you go right to the IL. So the fact that he didn't wind up on IL last night, hopefully it's not a major, real serious pull. But I wouldn't expect to see Alex Bregman for at least a week. And he was starting to hit.
Again, I mean, at the same time, Astros fans will take it. I think at this point, Astros fans, Houston sports fans, they just expect the worst. You hear a week and it's like, hey, let's throw a parade.
It's not the whole season.
Okay, that's a win. All right, get well, Briggs. You know,
but Altuve had a pair of hits last night. George Springer had a pair of hits last night. Kyle Tucker, 4 hits, a homer, two triples.
Wait, now who called that one, though? We're going to talk about where I missed. I called the Tucker game last night.
Did call the Tucker game last night. So, and I know that there are people out there who keep screaming, Tucker's not ready. Just got to let him find his groove. Baseball's different than all the other sports. You got to be more patient. They'll come around. Just like when other media, 610, other media, Houston Chronicle, other media were yelling, hit the panic button, because they were all 3 games under. Well, now they're 4 over. Where are all those bozos today? And more on the Astros next.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock in for John and Lance on the bench. Hey, Dale, you know, we were talking about this earlier, is, you know, somebody had asked, do you have any friends here? Because you are like the crotchety, crabby guy, allegedly.
Mr. Krabs.
And
that's an inappropriate way to describe me, but go ahead. Mr. Krabs.
Holly.
That's aggressive.
Holly says she's friends with you. Are you friends with Holly?
Huh. I would probably say I don't dislike Holly, but we're not friends because we don't hang out. I think friends are defined by hanging out, and we don't hang out. I mean, I'm not going to run away if she goes, hey, let's do something. But I think that's an aggressive term to call us friends. I think we're acquaintances who have a familiar relationship.
Oh, you're going full zero right now, huh?
Yeah.
No, well, so.
I mean, friends is aggressive. We don't do things together.
We don't have no friends, just associates.
Well, in this case, she's an associate.
There you go.
Using Dell's definition,
mm-hmm.
that friends hang out, I don't really have friends either.
I think that's pretty much most people once you get into your 40s.
I don't have friends. Who do I hang out with? I hang out with my kids. I hang out with my dog. That's
sad.
That's my group of friends.
But that's okay for you though, because you're a weird dog person. Della, you're a weird dog person.
I like dogs, but I'm not I don't own a dog.
All right,
no.
Glad. Okay, you might be the first. Aaron and Creighton. I've told them this story in the past. I'm gonna put it to the test. I'm looking for another sane human like me. I'm gonna lay out a story. Creighton and Aaron Rabel produces the Blitz and Late Hits at night. Both think I'm cold-hearted for this. You've got a dog.
And
now.
Evil.
I don't. Oh, if I.
Okay. You've got this dog. Okay. Right now, you have this dog. You love this dog to death. You had it a couple of years. You cry together at the same time during movies. Okay. You share popcorn with it during the movies. All of that. Whatever dog people do. All right. You go fishing with your dog because this is what Dale does. Dog jumps into the water and an alligator's chewing your dog. Do you A, jump in after the dog, wrestle the alligator for the dog, or do you B, keep fishing and say, man, damn, that was a good dog, as they hit the water?
I'm not going to keep fishing if my dog is being eaten alive by an alligator. I'm not going
to. Okay, C, you cry and row back to shore like Dale does whatever.
I'm not going to. There's no real reasonable opportunity for me to save this dog because I don't have a weapon or I don't have experience deterring an alligator.
At least a 13-inch knife.
Have you drunk or not drunk Arkansas milk growing up?
I have not.
Oh, you don't have a chance.
No.
You can't wrestle
the dog I love, but the other thing I would tell you is if I'm fishing on the water and I know there's a chance my dog is going to jump in the water, the dog is staying at home. The dog's not. First of all,
no. You can't change the story. All right, here's where the story comes from. I'm playing.
You can't use common sense or logic.
No. This is where the story comes from.
Point of view.
We were playing in a poker tournament. Dude's got a steel leg. Other dude asks him, like, "Hey, how'd you get the steel leg?" My dog jumps into the water. Alligator starts eating my dog. I jump in there, wrestle the alligator, and get my dog back, but it got my leg. And everybody else like, yeah, that's how I do that for my dog. And Creighton like, yeah, I mean, I'd jump in there and save my dog. Aaron, I'd jump in. I'm like, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, soon as that dog hits the water, because I know he can't jump back in the boat, and I see an alligator there, I'm like, man, damn. I'm reminiscing about all the good times I had with that dog.
If a dog I had and I loved jumped in the water, I'm not jumping in to save it.
Thank you.
Because there's no reasonable expectation that I'm going to actually save this dog
right.
without a weapon. And secondly, there's another dog at a shelter that I can go grab.
Right, just go get him, spray paint him, and tell your kids it's the same damn dog.
It's Texas. You're an outdoor person, and you don't have a weapon?
Well, why are you adding stuff? This isn't Grand Theft Auto.
But did that guy have a weapon? Did the guy in the story have a Bowie knife to take out the alligator?
I mean, like, you've got him like Rambo.
I wasn't there.
Oh, yeah, I would be camouflaged with the Rambo knife and sneak up from behind the alligator.
Everything that I know about people who like the outdoors here in Texas, they've all got big knives and guns.
But there's still the alligator. A supreme killing machine,
yes.
And it's me and a knife. I'm probably not going to win that
battle. Let me ask you this.
How big is the knife?
Y'all, if you know now.
I don't know,
now,
Crocodile Dundee. I don't know how big the knife is.
If you know now, you save the dog, but you lose your leg, do you go in the water?
If that's the trade-off. If you know that your leg is gone, but you'll save the dog, are you doing it?
Yes, that's what I'm asking you.
Yes, that's not a realistic,
no,
reasonable expectation.
No, if you know you lose a leg, but you save the dog.
Saving my dog.
Nah. Nah,
that's
man.
Some damn that dog. A cheap ass dog. I adopted him. Well, I paid $25 for shots. That's all I'm invested in.
You have to understand the value.
Next
of
man
a,
up. For, or in this a, case, next dog
of
up.
A person or a dog in this case. First of all, if you love your dog, and you know, I've already said it, we're changing the story now. But if you love your dog and you understand your dog's personality, you don't take the dog on the water and. In a place where alligators are.
In
you don't do
infested.
It.
And
this
if you
isn't
are there,
a PSA,
you're,
guys.
You're not going to gator-infested waters
no.
without large knives and
no,
guns.
No, I'm not even going to be in the water if I know gators are around. That's the other thing. If we're now going into why you don't do what you do, why are you heading out with your dog and with the gators around? You're asking for something bad to happen.
You've been working on the bench too long. You've been working on
why,
the bench.
How
this,
so?
The yeah, simple question involved
I already gave you.
PSA
oh,
and
I've already,
philosophical
I've already given
that.
You my answer. Now,
well,
now
well,
we're
Jason, first, before
no, I've already
I,
given you the answer.
I entertained the concept
see, he's,
of
you know why we're not friends? We know we're not, why we're not friends? I agreed with you, and now we're having a different discussion about why you would even put yourself in that situation, and now he takes issue with it. I'm on your side.
Okay.
They'll, On Twitter, some people want to know if you do any outdoor activity.
Yeah, I'll go for a jog or a run. Yeah, that's outdoor activity.
That sounds like a complete lie.
That's not true.
Nobody's athletic. Because he said, yeah, I'll go for a jog or a run.
Well, because I'm insulted. No, I'm insulted by the question of do I do outdoor activities. Yeah. I mean, I don't fish because I didn't grow up fishing. I didn't grow up in Texas. So that's not part of my DNA.
Name five outdoor activities you've done in your life.
I've camped.
One.
What I have actually fished before.
How are you struggling with two?
Well,
I've talked about fishing.
I got the two within a half second. You just jumped in.
It wouldn't be funny if I didn't.
Yeah. So what are you talking? I'm not struggling. What do you even consider an outdoor activity now?
Three more.
I mean, I play basketball. So I'm not. I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about.
I got gems for that. I can't count it.
I don't hunt. So how many outdoor? I've hiked. Is that an outdoor activity?
I'll let it count. We're at four.
I'm trying to think. I swam, whatever you want to call it.
I do the same thing.
Come on, how great is this? The guy who puts a plastic chair in his shower is the one asking you about outdoor activities.
Oh, I don't do any of
that.
Camping's the dumbest thing you could do.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to figure out what does anyone consider an outdoor activity?
Do you play baseball, softball, batting,
I've done it in the past.
Golf?
Sure, I've done it.
All counts.
I don't golf. I mean, mini golf. I don't actually go play golf. That's dumb. That's what John does. But yeah, I do outdoor activities.
Are you single?
Yeah.
Public pickups?
That's not an outdoor activity.
It is in the porn community.
No, I don't drive a bus and go pick up women. No.
You're telling too much right now with the bus.
That's fine.
He says, that's fine. I've made my peace with it.
Does bus have a loud noise attached
yes,
to it?
Yes, I think it does.
Yeah,
I think it does.
You might even call it what the Astros are doing with trash cans.
Nice. Well played.
Yeah, that type of bus.
Yeah. So, on Miami Arena.
Yes.
Day.
Yeah.
That'd be very strong.
You heard about that story, right, Dale?
When
Bang Brothers was put out the story, they were looking to pay money? Like a big sum of money, like $4 million or whatever, for the naming rights to
the Heat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Miami fan.
I mean, the Heat were like, we might stick with American Airlines for now.
You wouldn't like to go that. Like, Patrick does play by play. You know, he even does it currently right now for. Down there with Sugarland Skeeters. Patrick, tell me if Bang Brothers, and they wanted to call it the BBC Arena, so could you tell me how, give me a sample of your golden pipes and what a play call might sound at the new BBC?
That'd be very careful about okay. the way that you're describing.
Sure,
things.
I can understand that. You want to maintain professionalism.
We saw what happened to Tom Brenneman.
Wow! You don't want to say something that's inappropriate.
What if Jimmy Butler had a fast break?
You could see something like Butler left wing drives into the lane, slams it down the hole, and the crowd explodes all over the BBC.
Yeah, see, I think you got to be cognizant of what you give the name of rights to.
I think you got to be very careful.
And that's hour one. I don't know if we make it three more hours, but that's hour one. So that's. Early hits.
All right, we'll have we'll get more into the Astros and some extreme stupidity with the NBA next.
ESPN ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.